Take a minute just to be still. Keep your eyes closed and just listen to your heart. Simply breathe in and out. Inhale, God. Exhale, pain. Inhale, Jesus. Exhale, sin. Inhale, peace. Exhale, fear. Holy Spirit, scriptures describe you as the breath of God. We pray now that you would come and breathe on us. That you would breathe into us your life. That you would take this earth that has been shaped into the form of men and women and breathe into it life, the breath of God. And that, Father, as we breathe your breath, as we live your life, that you would give us your dreams. Lord, we submit ourselves to you, get together tonight. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated, you guys. Yeah, that'd be great. I'm going to take this. Do you guys mind setting that? Well, you guys, I have to admit, I'm excited and scared about being together tonight. I'm following through on a promise I made a couple weeks ago when we did a series talking, not a series, a message talking about the necessity of a community to dream together, and how much of our heritage in the West has been that we've been a church of believers but not dreamers. And to be a believer is a good thing, but not enough of a thing, because God has this interior life that He wants us to be fueled by imagination. And so I said probably what 3 or 4 weeks ago, in kind of a challenging way, what are your dreams? What hopes and aspirations has God put in your heart, both as individuals and as members of a community who are living our life together in the way of Christ as a church? You know, I think this is particularly important for us as a community, because I really, as I look at our church, you guys, I see us as a community in a season of transformation. You know, we've used the word growth to describe what's been happening, and we certainly have seen growth. But it's not just growth, because to me, when I look at our community and when I keep my hand on the pulse of my own life and the pulse of people's lives who I live among and the church as a whole, I just sense that God's doing something in our midst. And I think that that's pretty exciting. In fact, I think that transformation is a demonstration or an outcropping of the reality of life. That to be alive is to be an organism that is perpetually in the process of going through change. But to be a disciple and to be a community of disciples seeking to follow Jesus means to be transformed towards something, right? To be transformed into the likeness of God. There's a theological word that describes that reality: sanctification. Justification is a word that says when we receive by faith what Jesus has done for us, when we receive personally His sacrifice for our sins, we are declared righteous. That is, there is nothing that keeps us from God anymore. Our lives are clean. There's a new reality that exists. We are new. Behold, as Paul says, the old is gone, the new has come. But we are also recognizing the fact that we are not yet what we will be, right? I mean, we're all aware of this. We pray for forgiveness. We sing songs that describe the struggle of what it means to be disciples in a world that's broken and in need and crying for redemption. And so there's this thing that exists called sanctification, where we are becoming what we are in reality. That we're there, but we're not there. And that sanctification is simply the reality of being formed into the likeness of Jesus. That our internal reality more and more and more looks like the external reality of who God is, that we would mirror more and more and more of Him in our lives. And so, that ought to be true, not just for us as individuals, but as a community living our lives together, that we ought to be being sanctified as a church. What would it look like for a church to grow in holiness in a way that is not so self-righteous that it continually excludes more and more people, but radically includes them? That holiness would actually expand our lovingness and not exclude others. I like that, whoever's yelling back there. Right on. It's a sign of our sanctification. No. Life equals transformation. And transformation equals life. You all remember, I think I've told this story a couple weeks ago. I'm connected to a man named Father Adam, who's a Benedictine monk at a monastery in Conception, Missouri. And many of you will remember a year ago in June, on June 10th, a man walked into the monastery and opened fire on a group of people. And two monks were killed and two monks survived. My friend Father Adam and I were talking about something, and he's a spiritual mentor and director for me. And so he used an example from the life of the monastery to speak something into my life that I was struggling with. He talked about coming around the corner and happening on, do you all remember me telling this story? Yeah. On happening on a monk that was dead, that had been shot and killed. And all around the monk, the blood had, and this is morbid and I'm sorry, but it's true. The blood had gathered in very neat and concentric geometric shapes around him. And it just was a very serene and peaceful looking scene. As you went past him in the monastic section in the monastery part of the abbey, and you went down the hall, further down there was just a torrent of trash and blood and footprints in the blood where a monk had been shot and not killed. And so as a result, the paramedics, as they came to rescue and try to resuscitate life in this man, were just peeling medical supplies all over, just doing everything they could to sustain life. And so Adam said to me, where there is death, it is always very neat. Where life exists, it is always a mess. Which to me was a profound lesson about what it means to be disciples of Jesus. You know, I've also told this story before. Somebody once asked Mother Teresa if she would pray for him. She said, sure, I'll pray for you. What would you like me to pray for you? And he said to her, I would like you to pray for me to have clarity in my life. And she got indignant and hit her hand on a table. I think I just broke that. And said, absolutely not. I will not pray for clarity for you on any level. I have never had any idea what my life was going to be about. And I've never known anything that's happening to me. And it's the only thing that's kept me dependent on Jesus. Okay, so I think this is a challenge to us as a church that is in a stage of transformation. Because where transformation exists, change exists, and different people react to change differently. I happen to be a person who's very spontaneous. I love change. I just as soon have change as stasis. But for other people, that's really challenging. And I think in response to transformation or change, I think that we can react one of a couple ways. One, that we can wrestle and fight to regain control. Right? When we're confronted with change, we can wrestle and seek to regain mastery or control over what we perceived was ours to begin with. A second thing that we can do is that we can seek to resist change and just say, where you are going, we will not go. Some of us do that, although I would imagine that we rarely make that clear of a decision in our minds. But often we love ourselves or we love what we want more than what we really want to do what God wants. The third thing that I think is a possible reaction to transformation and change in our lives and as a church is to simply say to the Holy Spirit, God's manifest present here with us as a community is, here I am, Lord. What do you require? And I think that response is one that we see all through the Bible. People sincerely seeking to follow God, being pulled on the path of discipleship in places that they would just never lead themselves. And yet the mark of a disciple, keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus, saying over and over and over again, here I am, Lord. Where you are, I want to be. we will follow. And so here's what I want to challenge us, and this is what I challenged us with a couple weeks ago. The transformation is a sign of life, and because that is the case, it is always challenging. But what my desire would be, and I feel like we have permission from God to do this, is that we would be transformed in accordance with the dreams that God gives us. In other words, we would not simply just go wherever the momentum or the weight of our community leads us, or where our lives lead us, but that we would go informed by a vision, hopefully driven by God and His dreams, made manifest in our lives through our passions, our hope, our brokenness, our desire to see God work out His will in our lives as a community and as people who would rather follow Jesus than do anything else. That we would just not go wherever the force or the weight of our momentum goes us. That if we grow, that we grow creatively and inspired in a way that enlarges our understanding of what it means to be people of the kingdom of God. And that can be pretty scary. Because how are we certain that our dreams always equal God's dreams? You know, that'd be awfully nice to say, wow, isn't that interesting? God's voice sounds an awful lot like my voice. Funny how that is, isn't it? Well, I think that's one of the confidences and one of the places of humility that we have as disciples. Jesus says, ask anything in my name, and it will be granted unto you. Now, what does that mean? Anything we want, we just say, just throw in your name, Jesus, at the end of it, and all of a sudden that means... No, to ask in someone's name means to ask in the spirit of that person. In other words, when we pray and when we ask God to do the things that He would Himself desire, we can be pretty confident that He will do them because He desires to see His kingdom come. His Son taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Here on earth, now, kingdom present, as it is in our coming reality. In heaven. And so as we submit ourselves to Jesus, as we bow down, as we surrender and continue to give more and more of our life to Him, then our desires become more and more shaped by His desires. And yet at the same time, there's this awesome, what's this word? Meshing, weaving?
Sarah.
There's this awesome coming together of the unique ways that God has shaped and developed and allowed for things to happen in our life, both those things which are awesome and create hope, as well as those things that scar us and break us, and yet out of that brokenness give us passion for things that we would never have in a million years, right? That of our deepest brokenness comes the greatest passion. That our wounds become the path that God uses us to then heal the world. And so as we ask in His name, and as He takes these textures and these tapestries of our lives, and those things come together, we have this amazing opportunity to go, kingdom, come. And in the context of the church, we have power to see God create a reality that our world can't even begin to imagine. You know what I love about community? It magnifies an individual's impact. I always wanted to be one of those people that could talk to people about Jesus and they'd go, yeah, sign me up. I've never been one of those people that have the ability to do that. But you know what? In our church, Jesus is connecting with people who don't know Him. Not because of me, not because of you individually, but because the reality that a community of faith magnifies the reality of who God is and takes individual passions and gives them a platform that they would never have on their own. And so collectively, the power of the gospel is magnified exponentially in our lives when we are willing to risk. When we are willing to take these kernels of hope and desire in our hearts and submit them, not just to God, but to one another. Right? You know, we spend all this time holding each other accountable for our sins. What about spending some time holding each other accountable for our dreams? God, that makes me feel good. Okay, a couple things. Oswald Chambers challenges us because he says we talk about the will of God as if it were the hardest thing in the world to know. But for people who are reading the Scriptures, who have the Holy Spirit living within them, that are worshiping together in community, that are living their life among other disciples, that are practicing the holy disciplines that God gives us, knowing God's will should not be difficult. Not knowing God's will should be difficult. And when we live our lives out in community, submitting ourselves to one another and to Jesus, our dreams are holy dreams. Especially when they're uttered in the context of a community of people where they can be shaped, given voice, where they can be purified and challenged, but where they can take flight. I think that's how we know that our dreams are in submission to God. And so I ask us as a church that we would have holy ambition. Listen to this translation of Ephesians chapter 1. Do you all get the fact that I love the church? I do. A lot of people want to bag the church. I love the church. It is the bride of Christ. And Paul loves it too. Listen to what Paul says. This is Eugene Peterson's translation of the Message. The end of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to pick it up in the middle of the thought, so it's not going to make sense right off the bat. But as he gets going, you'll hear the thrust of what he's saying and why I like it, especially in relation to this idea of holy ambition. I think we have an identity crisis. We're a little unsure of ourselves. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. Now listen, at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body. Say that with me. The church is Christ's body. Jesus has no hands except our own. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts and by which he fills everything with his presence. You know how Jesus enters the world now through you and through us. Do we take that seriously? Do we dream in that way? That we would have that kind of holy ambition? What will we dream about as a church? I want to stoke the fires of our imagination. I want to ask the question, what if, as we dream, it becomes contagious? It enlarges. And people's dreams begin to infect other people's dreams. And they begin to grow and be bigger than they could ever be on their own. You know why dreams are so important? Because what we dream about informs what we will ask for. I read a deal in a British theology journal this week where this woman was talking about her love to shop and how she's trying to decide if that gets in her way of experiencing Lent fully or not. But she said she had this really interesting comment about prayer. She says, here's why we don't pray. Because we're not honest with God about what we want. We pray for peace when what we want is a holiday in Barbados. She said, maybe if we learned to ask God for what we wanted, he would change our desires. And so I've had this really fun week, all week long, just praying for all the things that I think I want. And KU is way up there. And it works. Man, did you see that score? No, just kidding. I don't want to go there. Seriously, though, you think about it. We assume that we've got to spiritualize our desires so that we can make them presentable to God. And we really wonder why we don't want to pray. Because we think that God's afraid of us. We think we have to whitewash. We have to coat our lives as if God didn't see the reality of who we were to begin with. You know, what if you struggle with the sin and you just say, God, I want that. Rather than hiding from it, I'm just gonna lean into the fact that there's this thing that I want. I know it's illegitimate. I know it'll destroy me and other people. But I'm just going to confess to you that I want it at least. Rather than try to pretend I don't. And then I'm just going to at least submit that to you. What if he tried that? I don't know. So, I want to learn about prayer. Because I want my dreams and my imagination to fuel my desires, both as a person and as a church. Let's be honest to God. Okay, I want this passage to guide us. I read this a couple weeks ago, Isaiah 43. Let's read this aloud together. And then we're going to have Jerry Springer and Oprah come in, and we're going to walk around with microphones, and we're going to take turns practicing sharing our dreams together, okay? Okay, let's read this, Isaiah 43. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. The wild animals in the field will thank me. The jackals and the ostriches too, for giving them water in the wilderness. Yes, I will make them springs in the desert, so that my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. I like that. I've made Israel for myself. And Israel's function then is to be a blessing to the whole world. Okay, here we go. I want to invite you guys to share your dreams. I'm going to scoot these back a little bit, and I'm going to take notes because I think this is important for us to talk about what we dream about as a church. I've got so many dreams that I could stand up here and tell them to you all night long, and that wouldn't be helpful. But you know what? There might be things that are individual to you. There might be things that you would say, I hope this is true of a church. These are my ambitions, my prayers for our community. Here are things in the dream that have always been true, and I hope we never lose. Right? And so we've got a standing mic up there. We've got Shane over here, and we're going to record these things. So, folks, you are the body. And I'm going to intersperse some of mine in there as we go, too. Yeah, Amy. Deanne, Amy's got hers right here.
It's kind of freaky that this is being recorded, but...
Yeah, tell me about it.
One thing that I love about the church and that I'd like to see us do even more is allow an outlet for people's creativity besides just musicians. Poets and painters and whatever. Because I think for many people, what they create is an expression of what God is doing in their life. Hmm. And to be able to share it would be able to honor and glorify what God is doing among us.
That is awesome. You know, one of the things that we love this building, and we may buy it, we may stay here, we don't know what's going to happen. But one of the things that we struggle with is that this building doesn't, at least geometrically, doesn't reflect the reality of what we really believe we would like to do in worship. I just hate it that everybody sits and stares at the back of everybody's heads. That we're not looking at each other, that we're not sitting in a circle. That the only thing that we really have time and space to do in here is stand up and sing and sit down and listen and disastrously try to make our way to the altar to serve communion to each other. And so what would it look like to have a space that allowed multiple expressions of creativity rather than just singing and standing and sitting and listening? Who knows? Yeah. Okay. Is that you, Willie? Hold on, Willie. You got to take the mic.
Yes. No.
You got to take the mic. Okay, hold it over.
I want leaders, people to stand up for their actions, instead of using some lame excuse. And you know, people of the church or the people of the leadership, you know, stop using it's not my fault because some this or that. You know, over the years, we've been seeing corrupted in churches, leaders, and businesses that hurt people when we see corruption like that. And who hurt us? The kids and the people.
Amen. Amen. That we would have a church with leadership that has integrity. And that it would take responsibility. I pray for that too. Let me write that down. If you guys see hands... I got my back turned here.
I travel from out of town to come into Jacob's Well, and I've been experienced one impact group, and I just love it, and I want to be involved. But I would love to see an impact group started in Lawrence, maybe.
There you go. You drive from Topeka every week, right? You know, these are communities that we have. We've always talked about wanting to be authentic, an authentic biblical community. But somebody said something accidentally this week in our impact group leaders meeting. We do a monthly gathering of all our house church pastors. And someone said authentic biblical communities. Boy, that's a great vision. That we would see our community as communities and that they would be expanding around the city. That's awesome. And outside the city. So I'm an impact group, at least in Lawrence. Okay, who else? Somebody up there? Come on. Okay, someone's making their way. Greg, in the meantime, will you share something?
Yeah, I was struck by the verse that said the wild animals of the field and the jackals and the ostriches, and just creating a community where people can be natural and what they are, where you can come in and be yourself and grow at your rate and be, you know, there's something creative about human expression just in itself. Without being, you know, necessarily producing arts of any kind, but just some, where people can come in here, be what they are, and not feel like they're having to be conformed to some, you know, Victorian ethic that we inherited from our grandparents.
Okay, authentic, real, and that, and what I mean, and let me don't move too quickly.
You want me to write for you?
Yeah, okay. That's a great idea. And if somebody else wants to grab over there, that people. Who struggle wouldn't feel, and maybe struggle is the wrong word, but you wouldn't feel like you have to perform or behave a certain way before you are welcome here. That's awesome. Okay, here we go. Is that on, Rich? Okay, I'm having a hard time hearing him.
I'm 16, and I have trouble with, like, the age demographics here, and I really love the people here, but for me, wanting to connect with other kids my age. I know that there's also not a whole lot of that here anyway, but the fact that I have to go to youth group at a different church, and also that I am afraid to join an impact group because I'm afraid I'll be 10 years younger than everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
That's my dream.
What's your name?
David.
Hey, Dave. Oh, yeah, we were talking out there. David, thanks for sharing, man. That's excellent. That's awesome. And I will share one of my dreams, too, with regard to that, too, because I don't want a youth group to be a segmented subpopulation of our church. Because I believe kids have things to say to us, and the level of sophistication among youth in our culture is significant, that it's got to be an open dialogue so that there's fellowship and community for people who are young, but not isolation. I don't know about the idea of a youth group. I just confess it. But I love the idea of people who have community with people who are like them and who aren't like them, who are challenged, where they are in community, and where they have an impact group where they feel welcome and a part. That's an awesome dream, David. Thank you for sharing. Mary, is that you? Stand up. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Okay, here you go. Here we go. We'll just... There you go.
Well, I have so many passions, but it seems like in the last few months, God is just really putting upon my heart to encourage other people and just to encourage people in ministry and to pull people together and, you know, just gather people in to make the community stronger. And yeah. The word encouragement has just been upon my heart for weeks now, to encourage other people in ministry.
That's awesome. And you know, one of the reasons that's really exciting to me, one of the things I'm most excited about some of the numerical growth that we've seen as a church, folks, is when you're a church plant, a lot of times people assume that if you're the paid guy, that you're the one that does the ministry. And that's not been true in Jacob's Well. But I think that there have been times where people have been reluctant to kind of step in and risk. And what I've seen in the last couple of months is that there's just a ton of ministry happening because people just are not waiting to get permission. They're just doing it. And people are connecting with people, and it's really exciting to me because you don't have to wait for us to tell you, do it. I mean, we want to make sure it's in step with who we are and what we're doing. But I love that, and we need people to encourage. Yes?
Well, my dream kind of feels sadly far-fetched right now, but I'd really like to find a group where you're encouraged to love on a level where it's not who is the giver and the taker. and where you're just encouraged to love like Jesus did, where you want the people around you to just be uplifted, and you almost aren't competing for who is like the better Christian, that you all just come together and you're at the same level of Christianity with Jesus, and just if one person, you know, knows something about the Bible, that they'll tell the other person, and just everybody's at the same level.
Right on. Yeah, okay, anybody up there? Come on, you guys. Suzanne, excellent.
Huge dream. Actually, I have many, but one of the, I think Amy said something about like a creative outlet for artists and poets and musicians, and I've been thinking this would be the best community to have a coffee shop in, not in the church, but out of the church, that didn't have Christianity written all over it, but it was full of the inspiration of Christ, you know, and where you could have art all over the walls, and you could have an open mic where different musicians could play and do poetry and all that, and then and have it be a place where like homeless people knew they could get a free cup of coffee anytime and hang out as long as they wanted to, and just like that kind of atmosphere.
Right on. Thank you, Suzanne. I see one over here. Okay, Jerry, go ahead, please. Say that. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. More than one large group opportunity for worship. Can I also ask you to share what you shared with Deanna a couple weeks ago about your vision for the church? Yeah. That the church would be open 24/7. That we would never lock the doors. My monastic friend said, you know what, people get off work and they want to pray. Where do they go to be with the people of God? All the churches are locked. They can go to a bar. They can do all these other things, but sadly all the churches are locked. I really resonate with that. You guys help me see where we are. Okay, go ahead.
I don't drive every weekend.
Yeah, you're Texas, from Dallas and don't drive. That'd be impressive.
I'm going back there in the fall, and I think that Jacob's Well is a very unique community, but my dream for it would just be that like the vision of church planters are right here, and that churches could start coming up in other parts of the country, and not just that everybody would flock to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And fortunately, we are connected to a network of other churches like our own, and that's one of our dreams corporately at large, too. But that's a great vision and a great dream. Oh, go ahead, Whitney.
Yeah. Can I draw?
Yeah, you can draw. Okay. Imagine that.
Okay. This is going to be my house, and this is where the church is, and this is my job, which I don't know what that is yet.
Okay.
But all of these things interact, like church and work and church and home, and all this stuff is kind of in this area, like this midtown, this area, and there's people and there's communities out around us that we're trying to incorporate and that we want to get to know and we want to get to love, but we can't, and how do we do that? And so to have just major ways of the church and opening my house to community, I mean, I wish that I lived next door and could say, okay, come to my house after church and let's hang out and have my work be a place. Like, I love the coffee shop idea, babe. It's something that I'm totally into and would love to have $1 million to be able to just open one and say, you know what, whatever happens, happens, and just to be able to affect the people here around us deliberately in this area.
Thanks, Whitney. You know, and what I hear you saying too, I just think God's given us a great gift of hospitality, and that's one of the most powerful things in our world today, where so many people are homeless, either in reality or internally. Yeah.
I'm speaking on behalf of 3 of my friends, 2 males, 1 female. They'd like to see mentoring happen. Just the father, son, mother, daughter.
Yeah.
And then my dream is to see international, people of all races, colors, ethnicities in the church sitting side by side rather than in their segregated high school groups.
That's a challenging dream, and that's a good one. Thank you for speaking that, Becky, and also on behalf of others. Shekinah, go ahead.
I just want to start off by saying this church has really been a dream come true for me and Paul. I mean, something that just the values and every week I'm just more and more encouraged by the things that I've been dreaming about and thinking about for many, many years. So I want to say that first. But I think a big dream for Paul and I is to have maybe like an annual or biannual mission trip with Global Storm, or maybe several multiple mission trips around the world.
Yeah.
I think that with the war and everything, we're all really starting to think more globally, and it would be amazing to experience that with our community, just to be able to experience other nations.
So. Thank you for sharing that, Shekinah. You guys, probably a couple more. Eric, go ahead.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
Eric.
I don't really know how this applies to the church community, but I really want to have a number one hit song on the radio.
Holy ambition, baby. And he sits down. Woo! Couple more, yeah. And this is great. And here's what I'm going to do in about a minute or two, is I'm going to have you turn to each other, and maybe some of you aren't willing to share out loud, but I'd like you to maybe take the opportunity in a second to share one that you have with somebody next to you. And then if you don't, just say, hey, I still need to think about it a little bit, but we'll do that in a second. About three or four more. Jen, go ahead.
This is really not my words, but a friend's words. And but I love them. And it really resonates with the fact that I'm a dork. I really am. Like, there are so many things about me that are not cool. And I look around and I see all these very cool people here. And just in maybe the past year, I've been okay with saying, hey, you know what? Come over to my house. It's trashed. My dogs have been running around, but come on over.
Yeah.
And I want to see Jacob's Well as a place where you can walk in the door and be a dork, and that's okay.
Yeah. Dorks Anonymous. Hi, Jen. That's awesome. That's awesome. See, this is excellent. Marilyn, why don't you just yell? Just stand up and yell, and then we'll go back here next. Yeah.
I've heard people talking about hospitality and opening the church up to homeless and that kind of thing. And I kind of had a dream of having a food pantry here at the church. And someone else had an idea of even making it more personal, where different impact groups or individuals, there could be a list of people who would prepare meals for people who didn't have enough to eat. And that could be people within our church or just a larger community, just a way to reach out to the poor of our community.
That's excellent, Jenny. Right here, right in front of her. There's somebody's hand right here.
Tim, we have somebody
waiting. Okay, great. Yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
Is it on? Okay. We love the teaching and the worship here. It's wonderful. But I have two dreams, and one would be that, you know, sometimes we worship and are overcome by our passion for the Lord. You know, I want to dance. Like,
be awesome.
I want to dance like David did through the streets of Jerusalem and just feel free to move, not just to sing.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. Wait. You know, and the aisle's wide open, so, okay. I mean, and back there, too, so please.
Well, I would say that only God will be blessed by my dancing because it's really
bad. That's excellent. Steve, why don't you yell yours out?
I have a real practical one that I have to say.
Okay.
This is important. We have a multiracial family. Hmm. Our dream for years has been, and we have sought and looked for, a church that looks like our family or where our family will find people that look like us.
Yeah.
So my prayer for Jacob's Well is that this passion for worship and teaching will also be a passion for people who look differently than the majority of us in here.
Yeah, and I would extend that to even say some of the international things, that we would just be a worship, house of worship with many nations. Yeah, Steve. I think it's important enough that he said that, that, and it wasn't microphone, that it ought to probably be said amplified. I don't know how. You can come, I can come over there and you can speak into my deal. Oh, whatever. Deanne nods me over there and then hands it across. That's hilarious.
Thanks, Deanne. I was just saying that since we are an authentic, genuine biblical community, it would be great to represent Christ and truth to the gay community around us, since it's a pretty fertile field. So.
Yeah. Amen. That was always one of my dreams as well. Hugh. Can I have the worship team kind of start making their way up here, by the way? Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Right on. Hey, you guys, just a second. It's 5 till 7. We've got people with kids. This is always so challenging, opening the door. I want to do Carly. I want to do this one right here. I want to do this one. Will you guys go pretty quickly? Not because I don't value what you're saying, but just we still need to take communion and do some things. Go ahead.
My dream's pretty practical, actually. It came out of the marriage class that I've been taking with Tim and just finished. And this doesn't apply to just married couples. I really think that a community needs to be able to know how to, like, work on each other's cars and mow each other's lawns and fix each other's things.
Sure, because, washing machines and
dryers.
Yeah,
because I really think that, you know, when you're starting out, especially Sean and I, we don't have, you know, a lot of stuff. And whatever we have, we'd be happy to share. And I just want that to be kind of an open policy.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a statement a friend of mine said. I would love Jacob's Well to be a debt-free house. And I don't mean just as a community. I mean people in Jacob's Well would live free from debt. I know a friend of mine who their church is so committed to this that they bought apartment buildings and said that people can live there if they've gotten themselves in trouble, that if they raise their earning, limit their spending, and pay down their debt, they found that people can pay off about $6,000 in a year off debt so that they can be free from that. I would love to see Jacob's Well be a community of people that live free from debt. Last one. Yeah, Brian.
I think Jacob's Well already does this generally, but it's kind of an adapted personal goal that I've had, but that we would lovingly lead ourselves and others into relationships with God in which we would truly live as Jesus would if he were us.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Okay, I'm gonna invite you really quickly to turn to somebody next to you, and if you've thought of something, if it's instigated, then share something that's on your heart. If not, just say, hey, I just need some more time to think and pray about it. Okay, we're just going to take a minute to do this. Ready? Go ahead, go. Oh, yeah. Hey, and I need mics. There you go. Thanks, you guys.
Sure.
Oh, okay, that's a great idea.
That stuff's still out.
Yeah, it's awesome, and they are. Their
battery's dying.
Maybe, but yeah, sure.
Okay, you guys, thank you for sharing with each other. Deanne reminded me to invite you to go upstairs to our kind of Jacob's Well little living room upstairs if you have some folks you want to continue this conversation with. Also, our website has a discussion board. We will open a dreams part of our discussion boards this week. So if you want to post something, we'll eventually make this and all the things we've written down an active part of our website where we can constantly be reminding each other and pushing each other. You know what? How do we go forward from here? I don't know. But it's not as much about me as it is about you. And us taking responsibility for what God has given us. I found this passage of Scripture today that I thought was a really short, terse, and great way to leave what we've had at God's feet. Laura, Psalm 54:2. Let's pray this together. Oh God, listen to my prayer. Pay attention to my plea. And let's do it one more time and change it to a plural pronoun, okay? Oh God, listen to our prayer. Pay attention to our pleas. Amen.